I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
We're back after an excellent Batista versus Undertaker match for the World Heavyweight Championship. All 15 minutes of it.
What would be better than you going out as Batista or the Undertaker, fighting all that time, delivering an absolute banger.
Career best, some might say.
That you get back and you go, oh, I bet afterwards they had to go, shitting hell, that was good. No! They cut to a vignette with Vince McMahon welcoming his new granddaughter.
Yeah.
Although you never see the child.
It's just a pram. It's from the point of view at one point of the baby.
It cuts suddenly and it's POV, so you are the baby. And Vince McMahon's your granddaddy. And he's talking to you in a little voice, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's
getting angry.
He's getting angrier and angrier and angrier. What was this about? I watched it.
Yeah.
I watched it about an hour ago.
Yeah. It's like a cheese dream, let's face it. But what happens is it builds two things. One is that Vince McMahon, for some reason, occasionally likes to drop into WrestleMania that he's had a grandchild. Yes. And it's almost like his way of sort of like...
reminding that I'm still virile. Look how virile I am for an older,
exactly
for an older gentleman.
Well, he gets very... there's a big thing about virility coming up with the hair versus hair thing, which is a really weird undercurrent about what Vince McMahon believes, which is really strange. But I think this one is as well, that he's like, I don't want people to think that I'm sterile. I want to remind them that I've got progeny. I mean, it really is, and a dynasty and all this. So you get this baby thing, but it builds basically to... Vince starts going, pooey, pongy, his face says. And it builds to the line, do you smell what I smell? She just took a tromp.
Yeah. He's. Wait, they don't use that word, though, do they?
My 8-year-old grandson wrote this. No, they don't. I mean, America, it doesn't come up. I mean, it's bizarre.
Brits do use the word tromp. So,
they do, and I can't work out whether or not it was like that was supposed to be it, or it would be like he's just saying that a shit he calls a Trump. like you might say, like again, if it was in this country, Brian Dixon in the same scenario would say, that baby's just filled its knickers, filled its pantaloons with Sal and Sugar.
Which is Tony Blair.
Which is the name that I give to tummy chocolate. I'd love to redo the whole of WrestleMania as if it was in an alternate reality, like Alan Moore did, like a sort of like V for Vendetta version of history. But this is just what it would be like if WrestleMania had come live from Burnley.
I don't mind it.
In 1985. God, Alfred Hayes would be the one single connecting thing.
Yeah,
that'd be great. Do you know what, Pete? I'm so excited about that. I actually have begun sort of going, I've got to concentrate on the notes now, because all I want to do is think about what that WrestleMania would be like.
Swimming, your eyes are swimming.
What would the steel cage not? It would just be, it would be a rabbit hutch. It'd be a rabbit hutch.
A UK-based rabbit hutch. What? No, it'd be like a Tesco's. No.
Shopping trolleys.
The supermarket thing would be in Tesco's.
Oh, the book of tea.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. God, it would be Safeway because of the thing. God, oh,
Doesn't matter.
Away. I don't want to do this podcast anymore. I want to go to the pub and talk about this. Match 6, the ECW New Breed Elijah Burke, Matt Stryker, Kevin Thorne, and Marcus Corvon versus the ECW originals Sabu, Sandman, RVD, and Tommy Dreamer.
I kind of switched off a little bit in this one.
Yes. Kind of... What a success the new ECW was. That of those four people, I don't believe one of them performed in a WrestleMania ever again.
No.
They also have the new breed beaten by the originals.
Why would you do that?
I mean, that is booking 101. You know,
why do you keep doing this?
See, the new breed, they're a pile of shit. You know, really well done. Metallica had offered their services for this WrestleMania.
All right.
And they said, we will happily perform Enter Sandman for free.
Cool.
When the Sandman makes his entrance.
Yeah.
They were turned down by Vince McMahon because he'd never heard of the band.
Nice.
True.
Enjoyable.
Sandman,
enjoyable.
I feel like we've seen a lot of him over the last couple of Wrestle Me shows. We've done him at One Night Stand, and we've talked about him quite a lot, Spring Under the Ring and
That's right, yes.
The paper round and all that. So genuinely a paper round. It's one of those things that people now sort of say, saying, oh, tough paper round, but... Listen to the old things. Don't know why I'm explaining it here. There's a bit, they all come down through the audience, and Sabu is the one of them who is having none of this. I am a sports entertainer.
Yeah.
And everyone else is like high fiving.
Yeah.
And Sabu is all elbows the entire fucking one. Just fuck off. Fuck off. Really good. The new breed is sort of worth talking about. I don't think we're going to see any of them in a WrestleMania again. Mm. Possibly Matt Stryker, we will hear from. After a sort of quite promising start in WWE.
The former teacher, Matt Stryker.
That's right.
As they mentioned in the commentary.
Yeah, it comes up a lot, that story. That was really the thing that got him signed.
Right.
Was that he was a teacher who had basically taken time off saying he was ill and he'd gone to wrestle. And it made national headlines. And I think that got him noticed.
Like George the Animal Steel.
Yes, although George was responsible enough to hold down that job.
Exactly.
Just denying to his students that he was George the Animal Steel, which is funny as well, because it's not like George the Animal Steel has a different face.
No.
Do you think Coach Myers has a green tongue? It does look like a green tongue, yes. Well, I was up late last night, so didn't have time to scrape it off. But Matt Stryker, after this sort of initially very, very promising early bit of commentary that he does, where everyone goes, God, he's really knowledgeable, he's really good at this, he quickly becomes one of the worst, most inept, and consistently awful commentators in wrestling history.
Wow.
It's an amazing switch where everyone was like, he's really good, to going, I can't listen to him. And he still sort of occasionally pops up on things.
Right.
And he's sort of incapable of, like, he just says things that aren't right. And he must know, but
that
he still
wrong.
Plows on. Yeah. And it's just, some of it you can hear him making up as he goes along, which is just absolutely appalling. Elijah Burke, he was the last person to wrestle Chris Benoit.
Right, yeah.
They wrestled in ECW. He had a sort of like a build with this ECW Originals thing, and it just sort of fizzled out, really. Mm. He is one of the only people that you will... No, bollocks, he isn't. It's the other one. You see, they're so interchangeable, all of these forgotten men.
Mm.
So he actually has was friends with The New Day. This is the thing. He went on to TNA. Right. He did not. He should have been a star, this guy. He was just this guy. I sound like Matt fucking Stryker. I knew if I commented on someone being bad at commentary, there'd be a karmic like response. I thought it would be on the way home, I'd probably get stabbed in Highbury. And I was willing to do that for this podcast. But I realise it's come too quickly. Marcus Corvon, we'll move on to him. But he was a big guy. Again, one of those people you would have absolutely put money on being a star. Former NFL linebacker. He played in the Super Bowl for the Buffalo Bills. He becomes a wrestler. He has got a great look. He's a huge guy. He was known as Monty Brown in TNA.
Right.
Now, he goes to the WWE and he's there for 1 year. His Wikipedia, it starts, he's perhaps best known for his time with TNA. No one who has been in WWE has a Wikipedia page that says they're best known for something other than WWE.
Right.
WWE is the big thing. The fact he was in WWE for a year and it says he's best known for his time in TNA, he is absolutely 100% a forgotten man.
Mm.
Once his WWE career ended a year later, so about 2008, he just retired. That was it. He was done, and he now works as a personal trainer. And he was absolutely a cannot miss prospect. It's so odd. Again, this is part of this thing about 2007. They are handed talent on a plate, and nothing seems to stick.
Mm.
Your Kennedys, your MVPs, your Marcus Corvons, your Elijah Burks. These guys could have been something, And yet they just couldn't get them. I don't understand what went wrong, but they just couldn't do it. You've got Kevin Thorne on this bit as well, who is a vampire. He was introduced for the ECW, which was on a Sci-Fi Network. Mm. And it's a slight nod to that. He'd originally had a run in Memphis as a character called Seven, which was based on the Seven Deadly Sins.
Right, okay.
Sloth would be a really bad one to use. And then he had a very brief run as a character called Mordecai in the WWE, who was like a sort of fundamentalist, all white clad reflection of The Undertaker. And the idea was he would be this sort of weird crusading, sort of like white goth character,
right, okay,
that would have a big pay-per-view match with The Undertaker. And he had one match against Hardcore Holly, and it was so bad, they were like, we're going to scrap all of this.
Right.
They bring him back a bit later as a vampire, you know. So here he is. What's the vampire's name? Kevin Thorne. Kevin's one of those names that the American thinks is, you know, is really British. In the same way that we think, like, Chad. All,
yes,
Americans are called
American,
Chad.
Yeah.
But all Americans are called Chad. Right? I can think of wrestlers that are called Chad, right? At least three.
Yeah.
So that proves it. But Americans have the thing of just going, he's a vampire, so what would his name be? Well, it would be Lord Ian Bumholes. You know?
Lord Ian Duncan Smith. The vampire.
So he's made into a vampire. Out he comes with his escort Ariel, who is played by a woman called Shelley Martinez. After this little run in ECW, they send him back to development.
Mm.
They say, will you want to sign a new contract? He says, no, not really. He disappears. Right. This is a really sort of hard sort of period for people to connect. And it's just a weird thing about what was happening in WWE at the time, that all of these people, they were just like, fuck, I don't know. Make him a vampire. You know, he's called Sir Henry Tidwillider.
Has there ever been a successful, like, a vampire character? I can't think of one.
Well, Fred Blassie was nicknamed the Vampire Fred Blassie,
right,
but he would actually then chew on people's foreheads.
Yes, like, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But no, when you get into the world of the supernatural, I mean, you end up having, like, the mummy that
Universal
humped Hulk Hogan.
Right.
And, you know,
the Universal Monsters, kind of, like, the mummy, the Frankenstein's monster, all that, you know, all that stuff is, like...
I think it's one of those things, I imagine, in the 50s.
Yeah, you'd
get
away with it.
There was Gene LaBelle's promotion had a thing called The Monster, and it was like in the early 70s, and they went on television and went, I've created a monster in my lab and he can't be beaten. And it was, he lost all of his television. They were like, what a disgusting display. And it's just, it's different times. But it is that sort of funny thing of people had a sort of like, there is a limit to what we'll accept.
Yes.
This is all predetermined, but please don't say you're dead. I say this is absolutely, totally wrong here. You have PCO at the minute in Ring of Honor, which is the American Federation, the Independent Federation, which,
right,
is not doing very well, who are very nice to us. And they continue.
Yeah, I saw the email.
Sort of say, would you like to come and visit? And we were always like, busy. And their champion at the moment is PCO, a former member of the Quebecers named Pierre-Carl Ouellette. And his gimmick is that he is
a vampire.
He's the sort of Frankenstein.
Right.
Yeah.
What, is he just kind of like bolt in the neck kind of business?
Sort of, yeah. I think he's been started with like jump leads and things. And it's all about how he's he cannot die because he's not alive.
Oh, I've been watching a lot of That Man Who Doesn't Do Anything. The Great Khali. No. The man who puts his hands in his pockets and he just does all...
Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very enjoyable.
Isn't it?
I imagine people, purists, probably get angry about
Jim Cornette having a shit fit over it, do you reckon?
Yeah, he really is.
I like it. Something for everyone, you know?
Yeah.
But I can understand, in the same way as, like, you know, having I am from a lab, having that in the middle where everyone's in on a joke. If you did come from the outside and go, I hear this wrestling is really hot right now, you'd see that and just go, well, that was absolutely, they weren't even trying.
I think the complete opposite. I think they'd really appreciate it. I think they'd be like, oh, a bit of comedy.
It's a hip, isn't it?
It is.
hey guys, wink wink. I'm gonna say I love Orange Cassidy. I've seen him do a lot of, you know, the early stuff. When I saw him, I was absolutely mind blown.
I think we spoke about it on the show before, but yeah. Good.
I think, you know, again, part of that, if you do want to see that sort of really inventive wrestling where people are doing something very new and exciting and it really is thoroughly entertaining, you cannot do better than watch the Invisible Man match that GCW put on over WrestleMania weekend, where the referee, I think his name is Bruce Remsburg, he puts on an absolute masterclass where he officiates a match between two invisible men, and his officiating lets you know exactly what's happening. And honestly, the heat is off the chart. It's quite amazing. Honestly, it's like the Turner Prize. It's
enjoyable.
Fantastic. So that's all of the, I mean, you know, we've talked about the originals of ECW quite a lot, but you can really see here, yes, at WrestleMania, there's no point in humiliating your legends. But at the same time, if you've got so little interest in the new breed coming up, which they do, all four of them, you know, totally fly to the winds over the next couple of years.
Kevin Thorne's had some amazing names. Kevin Fertig, Seven.
Fertig is his real name,
right?
Kevin Fertig.
Mordecai Serpent, Max Cherry. I'm enjoying that.
Max Cherry. Do you know what? There's a funny thing as well. Well, all of his gimmicks are slightly so. Seven Deadly Sins. You've got Mordecai, this sort of weird, like New Age, light force goth. You've got the vampire Kevin Thorne. Mm. You've got his independent character, which is called Serpent. Was it
right?
And then he's like Max Cherry. That seems like a big change from all of the slightly hobgoblin shit he's been doing before.
Max Cherry, he's sounding like a porn star.
Yeah, mate. Now I fuck chicks. That is not a bad gimmick. There's a little one of those all grown up bits that they do as well, with Stone Cold that comes up after here. And he says the line, he just goes, "Now I'm all grown up. I'm an opening cans of whoop ass ever since." And it just sounds like a Werther's original advert. It really does. Ever since I was knee high to a grasshopper and granddad, and all that. It just sounds so hokey. I can't tell you.
I remember thinking I must have been someone real special. Open a can of whoop ass.
I remember the first time I opened a can of whoop ass in my grandfather. I loved him so much, it was the day he died. The Battle of the Billionaires.
Yes.
It is Vince McMahon versus Donald Trump.
Mm.
Very much Trump versus McMahon, I think, was the match they probably angled for in the early days.
Yeah.
Hence why the graphic here doesn't mention Bobby Lashley or Umaga. But we have Umaga, the Samoan performer. I don't know why. We all know who Umaga is. Umaga. He's a Samoan.
He's a man who, when all the other wrestlers are working out...
A frightening guy.
Do you reckon they're like big fat wrestlers?
Yeah.
Obviously, they're not working out as much. And they're not certainly doing no fucking cardio.
Yeah.
They're just eating. Do you reckon all of the wrestlers are going, why didn't
I
think
of that?
I wish I was a big fat one.
But then, someone like Umaga, he does hear a 25-minute match.
Yeah, I know.
And there is that funny thing when you see someone like MVP and he does 25 minutes, and then you see Umaga do 25 minutes, and I'm like, Umaga is working four times harder than MVP.
Damn right.
Umaga, I think, is one of the... I mean, his early death in 2009, so only a couple of years after this. But I think he was one of the really good heels of this period.
Mm.
Throwback to those sorts of terrifying, sort of prehistoric, carnivorous, cannibal sort of islanders. And they very much play that up in this. You know, they talk about him being a carnivore and everything. I think he did this so well. He has a uniquely frightening look. Everything about him is quite frightening. His hair, his the makeup he wears, I mean, his moves. He is a fast moving pit bull of a boy. He is absolutely terrifying. And there's a funny bit as he walks in, he sort of looks at the shaving foam and he's like being a savage, you know, led in by Alejandro Armando Estrada.
Yeah.
A man who, until this match started, if I'd have met him at a party, and I'd have said, "Did you ever do a WrestleMania?" And he said, "Yeah, I was did the Battle of the Billionaires." Yeah. That I'd have gone, "That's bullshit."
But he's there.
He's like, "No, I did a big thing. I got in the ring and everything." And I'd go, "Why are you lying to me? I know. I had no recollection of him doing this at all." As they come into the thing, and he's got this handler, which is, you know, this Cuban guy.
Mm.
As Umaga sees the shaving foam. And he really starts looking at it like that's a real totem. I was going, does that fit in with his character?
Well, he'd be excited by something a bit weird.
How does he know what shaving foam is? I thought he's sort of like we keep him in the cellar, you know? But maybe he's seen some shaving foam. It certainly seemed that way. They then have Bobby Lashley as the proxy. The virile, strong workhorse stallion working for these two aging billionaires who are literally unable to perform. out they come. And my favourite bit on this, by the way, just before it starts, they go to the Wild Hogs premiere.
Oh, yeah.
Where they sort of say, we've asked the big stars who they think is going to win the Battle of the Billionaires. And they've been unable to get anyone to actually answer the question. So it's just a load of clips like John Travolta and Jewel. And people just going, Donald Trump, like that. And you get, some of them are clearly in the middle of it.
They
sort of go, Donald Trump, like that. And it's just like that. No one, apart from The Rock, goes, in the battle, I think Donald Trump is going to shave the head of Vince McMahon. Like
and The Rock's just in his front room or something.
It is. We don't know what he's recorded it on, it's basically, it must predate, he wouldn't have done it on a camera phone because they were too bad back then.
Yeah.
But I think what he's done it on is like a camcorder.
It would have been one of those ones that had a compact disc, like a DVD recording.
A normal camera that had a you know, a video mode.
Yeah. The one that would film people as they go past on a...
It's a bit fuzzy, isn't it?
There's people walk past outside Dixon's, the thing that films them.
Rock, would it be possible for you to do a little vignette for WrestleMania? Sure, I'll just go outside to my ring. Unbelievable. But everyone just saying Donald Trump, it's so tawdry that I wish they hadn't bothered.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Vince McMahon did a little Q&A with the Ottawa Sun in the build up to this.
Right.
And the thing about Vince is he obviously had the time of his life doing this, as if he knew that within a decade that Donald Trump would be the president of the United States of America and this would become a really, really sort of key, important, hilarious wrestling match. But the Ottawa Sun asked some really good questions. And one of the things that comes out of it is, I mean, Vince is mad. So one of the questions was, how would your wife Linda feel if your head was shaved? And the answer was, I don't think she'd be pleased. I've always had hair. Lots of it.
Thick and luscious.
I said to him, you morphed into a power-walking, carny-like, larger-than-life character on WWE TV, having been a ringside announcer. Do you need the spotlight? He said, I far more enjoy producing and directing than being the talent. If I'm out there, it's taking away from someone else. And that I think, is probably an interesting part of Vince McMahon. I think he probably is.
Yeah.
That is probably true. He always talks, I think in one of the other answers he gives, they sort of say, what do you like watching on telly? And he's like, I've never been home in time from my job to actually sit and watch television.
Yeah.
I work all night.
Yeah.
And he just constantly does this. I think he's sort of remarkable. They said, on TV, you're very pompous and arrogant. Would we be surprised by the real Vincent Kennedy McMahon? And he said, I think you'll find in real life, I'm far more pompous and arrogant than you see on TV. Funny. What about music? What do you listen to? And these are the fascinating things, because no one really knows trivia about
Vince. No, nobody asks him.
When I'm training, I like good basic rock, U2, and something with a heavy metal sound, AC/DC, Back in Black. I crank it up while I'm working out. This is the man, by the way, who didn't know who Metallica were.
Right.
And then they said to him, and this is absolutely, I think, everything you need to know about Vince McMahon in this one answer, and it's just a sort of throwaway sort of question. They say, do you set any limits on what you might do? And he just responds, there's absolutely nothing I wouldn't do for the business. And I think that's absolutely true.
He's a sort of kind of like really rich man who probably isn't respected by other rich men.
Massively.
Because of how he's made his money.
Massively. And you can see that with Donald Trump, he is also wrongly sort of believing that he's with this self-made man. What Trump is, of course, is Trump is someone who real rich people don't really want to associate with.
No.
And you've got the same with Vince McMahon. He's talked about it a couple of times, I think, about when he's moved to Greenwich, that the neighbours were very snooty, you know, about him and the job that he did and everything. He is a legitimate billionaire.
Yeah.
And you don't like the way he's made his money. It's a little bit like being, you know, in charge of Sports Direct, you know, or Weatherspoons or whatever it is. You know, people are a bit sniffy about it. Vince McMahon is one of the very few self-made billionaires, I think, that you'd meet of his generation. He's, you know, a remarkable man. He is having the time of his life doing this because he is with another billionaire.
Yeah.
And that is giving him the rub as well.
It's just his mate, isn't it? It's just a mate hanging out. I mean, Trump's terrible in this, but like, McMahon, I know people hate him, but I do like his tomfoolery in this.
Oh, he's great.
He's very good at it.
How many other people would go as far as he does routinely to just, I mean, his big thing is he doesn't make himself look good. Triple H, for example, when he was given, you know, that limited amount of power he had before he got taking, you know, doing NXT and it seemed to get it out of his system. When he was in the spotlight, he would always push himself as the hardest, strongest. He was the one that no one could beat. He's the end boss that you cannot best. Vince McMahon is always, I will get my fucking ass handed to me.
Yeah.
I will get in there. I will. It might take a while, but rest assured, you will see me be absolutely pummeled shitless. And that is exactly what you want in wrestling.
He understands the feckless boss. He understands the prick. Everyone's got a boss. We spoke about this about 10 episodes ago. Everyone's got a boss. That's why Stone Cold Steve Austin worked with him, because he's flicking the V's at his boss, because that's what everyone wants to do.
Yeah. The other thing that happens here is you begin to see sort of more interesting relationships between Trump and the McMahons. So with this appearance and a Raw a little bit later in 2009, the WWE end up paying Trump $5 million. So he gets $4 million for this WrestleMania and some of the build-up performances he's done. And that gets paid to his charity, the Donald J. Trump Foundation. Now, you might have heard of the Donald J. Trump Foundation because it was his private charity that he founded and operated from 1988 until it was dissolved by a court in 2019.
Yeah.
Now,
he was buying pictures of himself, wasn't he, for his country club?
Yeah, that's right. The Washington Post did this big story. The journalist who broke the story won the Pulitzer for it. And they basically found he had this charitable foundation that was used to, on a couple of occasions, the money went to settle his personal or business legal disputes. Mm. On three occasions, he used the money to purchase artist portraits of himself.
Yeah.
There were 2.3 million that he'd asked people to pay into the foundation for work that he'd done. And the foundation meant that he wouldn't be taxed on the income. So the top donors to the Donald J. Trump Foundation from 2004 to 2014 were Vince and Linda McMahon.
Really?
So they gave $5 million. When he then stood for president and people began looking into his finances, the foundation said that the money had come from WWE. The WWE later said the money had come from Vince and Linda McMahon personally. And later, when Linda was running for the US Senate in Connecticut, they said, no, it was just Vince. So already it's getting a bit weird.
Out of hand.
Yeah. They also made personal donations, the two McMahons, to his campaigns.
Mm.
And they paid quite a lot.
Yeah.
So there is a funny underlying thing about this. You know, there is that thing of when Vince McMahon probably does have this chip on his shoulder about being the billionaire, the other billionaires think is in some way a little bit greasy, a little bit carny. When you read stuff like that about disgraced sort of charitable organizations that have to be dissolved by courts because they don't seem to be giving any money to charity, and you are the biggest provider of income to that foundation.
Yeah.
There's a slight amount of Vince, come on, don't protest too much. You know, it's a little bit eggy. This match itself as well, I mean, it doesn't put a foot wrong.
No.
Vince does not let the matches that he's involved in go off the rails. Mm. He just absolutely, they are often overbooked. So Shane McMahon comes out. You've got Stone Cold as a ref. There's a lot going on, but it is absolutely pure fun, carny wrestling at its very best.
Mm.
And with the limited amount that Donald Trump can do, he does.
Mm.
So he attacks Vince McMahon on the thing, which gets an amazing pop.
Mm.
He's there the whole time, just rattling on, you know, what are that guy doing? How can you let him do that?
All he does is like, Bobby, go on, Bobby. That's all he says.
He does.
And Umaga sounds a little bit like MAGA. Like MAGA hat.
You MAGA.
No one
has picked up on that. No one has picked up on that.
It's the last bit of satire.
Oh my God, that is a t-shirt and a half. Honestly, they're making them as we speak. You're the first person to come up with it. But that is a $1 million idea, the You MAGA. Fuck me. That's great. they say at one point, Bobby Lashley may get a suite at the top of Trump Towers for life. I think they're going to find a reason that Bobby Lashley can't go into Trump Towers. I was chatting to someone who had signed with WWE relatively last year, thing, and they mentioned, probably in confidence, that there are a couple of things that WWE will not allow in interviews.
Yeah.
Well, one of them is the Saudi Arabia controversy. I don't know why I said that like Dracula.
Are you trying to edge yourself into a gimmick?
It seemed a little bit like that. I was like a deep Russian spy. And at the moment, when I did that, I was talking about serious matters. I reverted to my natural state. And the other one is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They can't mention it here. But honestly, it's a shame because I like to say he's absolutely fantastic in this. Stone Cold Steve Austin said that because he does actually, he takes a stunner at the end.
Yeah. Nor sells it. He barely yes. goes down.
Yeah.
They've not given him pads.
No, they haven't. But like everything on the night, I mean, Trump did it pretty much by the seat of his pants. So Stone Cold did an interview about it and he said, on the day Vince came to me and we were in the back area, 90,000 people out there, Ford Field. And he says, Steve, come over here. I'm going to see if I can get Trump to take a stunner. I said, oh, bullshit. You think he will? He says, I know, Donald, he'll do it. So anyway, he goes, Donald, come over here. And he says, Steve, this is Donald Trump. Hey, Mr. Trump, how are you doing? I met him. He says, listen, I was thinking about everything is all said and done. Steve would hit you with his finishing move. Well, what is it? Well, it's called a stunner, and it kind of goes like this. And Donald Trump's right-hand guy all of a sudden goes, no, you don't need to do that. There's a million reasons why you shouldn't do that. But Donald, he looked at Vince, and he said, you think it'll help the show? Vince said, Donald, they'll go crazy. So Donald Trump was man enough to go out there. And that's how it worked. So apparently they did it on the day. Oddly, Bobby Lashley doesn't get stunned by Stone Cold Steve Austin, which makes him a very rare person to have been in the ring with Stone Cold and not and actually get stunned. But he said when Trump got stunned, nobody had actually told him that that Trump was going to be stunned.
Yeah.
And so he said, I didn't really know what to do, whether or not I should sort of go, do I attack Steve Austin? Because that's supposed to be like the bloke I'm working with. Yeah. I just love the fact they don't tell anyone anything. No, it's really sort of like throwing it by things. So, yeah. And Vince ends up having his hair shaved. Again, you say a lot about Donald Trump. You can say a lot about Donald Trump. He is the only person in the history of wrestling who has been able to literally shave a man's head in a hair versus hair match. He does it. He goes in really confidently. It's the first time he smiles as well. He's like, yeah, I like this. This is good. Humiliating a man.
He loves the debasing. Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The best thing I found out about this, which hasn't really been written about, which I love it when you find something that makes you laugh and you just go, no one's touched on this yet. While the shaving is going on, JR says the line as well. He says, Jerry Lawler says, why are you smiling? And JR sort of goes, I'm smiling. I got Bell's palsy. I can't really smile big. It's like, oh, Jim, no. Just keep it fucking light. Suddenly, for about 15 seconds as it happens, there's a song going, I got the bald-headed blues. It comes out and it sort of goes really quickly. And I'm sort of like, is that supposed to be there? And Jerry Lawless, and he goes, ah, bald-headed blues, that sort of thing. So I thought, oh, right, it's a song that you know that's real. No, it was written specifically by Jim Johnson, the WWE's head of music for many years. And it was written specifically for this. But there's a whole different load of choruses and lyrics. And what it does is it gives you a little glimpse into what Vince McMahon thinks about the hair thing. So when he says, I've got hair, lots of it.
Yeah,
and it's sort of like, why do you think a hair is sexual? What is it that you're trying to get across? So the chorus of Bald-Headed Blues, which you don't hear, is I've got the bald-headed blues. I've been a victim of a crime because now I've lost my hair. I should have lost my mind. He said, I used to be a striking thing to see. Yes, I used to be a man, a man's man. But now my manhood stripped away. So Vince is all like having your head shaved. That is the least masculine thing you can do.
Well, I remember in like 4 or 5, there was like a Hair Club of America sort of skit quite a lot, and people were getting wigs and stuff. I seem to recall back.
Yeah,
then. Remember?
But like you got fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I know.
When The Rock shaved his head, he's a massive star. You know, he works with loads of bald people, and he must look at like Stone Cold Steve Austin and just go, "Not a man." A big Jesse, a big bald pansy. Where's your hair, Austin? Mental. Oh my God, a man's man, but now my manhood's stripped away.
It's not. It doesn't sound particularly catchy, but I will get there. We'll get there.
Also, congratulations to the Timekeeper on the biggest match probably in WrestleMania history. Mm. You know, by pay per view and by you know attention worldwide.
Yeah.
He manages to ring the bell as Austin counts 2.
Nice.
I mean, proper good work. Somebody's going to be eating a fistful of Vince McMahon's masculine hair. push. have we got time to quickly crack on?
Let's crack on. Let's do these.
Let's
last
do
two.
It. Well, let's crack through this one quickly. The Divas Lumberjill match, Ashley Massaro versus Melina. This is very much the height of the period where they are divas, where everything is, there's a belt that's like a butterfly. It's just, these are models who we're not even going to pretend they wrestle. They can go out there and they'll hold it together enough, but you're not going to enjoy it.
Right,
But you know what you will enjoy? Ooh, look, fishnet. Ooh, little bit of cleavage. Oh, imagine what they'd look like naked. Once a year, you get to see it in Playboy. Ashley Massaro comes out. She is the Playboy cover girl at this period. So that's why they have to pop her onto WrestleMania. She gets the women's champion, Melina. And they say, well, Melina's jealous of Ashley because she's not getting as much attention as her. And again, that mentality of that the women are doing this, the only possible beef they could have is that it's
the men
over.
Are looking at her.
Yeah. Oh, I want men to look at me. I want more men looking at me.
But Melina is dressed like, who was the favourite,
Margarita Prakatan.
She looks like the Barbarian. Like she's dressed
she does.
Like the Barbarian.
She started as a valet for the tag team Eminem.
Incredible hair as well. Thick.
Let me tell you what Wikipedia says. Famed for her flexibility, utilised during her entrance and her in-ring manoeuvres, Perez, that's her surname, Melina Perez, was called one of the best wrestlers in the world by Bret Hart and cited by WWE as having perhaps the most impressive arsenal of offensive manoeuvres maneuvers in WWE history. Now, I don't know if Melina edits her own Wikipedia page.
But it sure sounds like she does.
But one of the most famous things about Melina is her personal life. And absolutely no judgment on this. She used to, I believe, go around with John Morrison. I think she had an extracurricular affair with Batista, which at the time is very well reported. There was various sort of... there was always a suggestion that Vince McMahon had never pushed John Morrison very hard because he didn't like this thing of his wife being known to be seeing another wrestler.
Right.
Or his fiance or girlfriend or whatever it is. Irrelevant from that. That's all just horrible, you know, gossip about what adults can do. You know, they're more than welcome to do. But there is no personal life section on Melina's Wikipedia.
Right.
And that seems like something that is... must be continually being deleted.
Yeah.
So I can't understand why someone without a dog in the fight would be continually going, I do not wish for a decade-old rumour and scuttlebutt to be put on this Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
You will love this because Melina is one of the few people we know who was sentenced to face The Undertaker at Wrestler's Court.
What's she done?
Melina's backstage heat and attitude was a huge problem for her throughout her career. It probably led to her release, and it's the reason why they never really particularly brought her back. She was compared a lot to Sonny as being a real problem behind the scenes. Some of that, obviously, when you hear about those sort of personal issues that you won't read about on Wikipedia, is behind that. But she did face Wrestler's Court. This little bit I said, it's the unofficial forum among talent for the policing of wrestlers that violate the rules and traditions of the company. Her ill-behaved manners persisted following Wrestler's Court, and she found herself transferred from SmackDown to Raw, so they moved her from shows. She was said to have had issues with veteran female talent. She was kicked out by Lita early in her career, made to change in the hallway because she was such a pain. She then, when she became more of a veteran herself, she would continually kick people out and make them change in the hallway. She was involved in a backstage altercation with Charmel after Batista had a fist fight with Booker T. That was genuine, a bit of a shoot thing. And there was a woman totally forgotten called Taryn Terrell, who was known as Tiffany. And she was a Diva Search contestant in 2007, so in this year. And she said that WWE personnel actually warned her about Melina, saying she was the one diva who will give her problems. So Melina seemed to be a little bit of a heat-seeking missile. Ashley Massaro, she made her debut having won the Diva Search in 2005. She had a three-year career. She tried to wrestle, you know, and learn. It is not something you can pick up overnight. Her later story is obviously horribly sad. So she became part of the class action against WWE for the concussions that a number of former talents did in about 2016. As part of that suit, she also alleged that she'd been sexually assaulted in quite sort of bizarre circumstances during a WWE tour of Kuwait, where she said this had happened on a US military base. She said that WWE had apologized but persuaded her not to report it to the authorities. The lawsuit was then dismissed, and in May 2019, about 10 days before her 40th birthday, she took her own life. The story then came back up about this sexual assault that happened on this Q80 tour, and the WWE said that they had never heard anything to do with those allegations at all. I don't know. You don't know the truth of it. It certainly seems to be something that I can't imagine they wouldn't have acted on. It's too horrible a claim. She did end up, I think, writing to the WWE after the concussion lawsuit to basically say, I regret taking part in it, and it was a punt and I shouldn't have done it. So it's a sad story. Obviously, you know, this is not the podcast to be getting into what went on here.
Yeah,
it's a stupid podcast by two very silly people, and these are obviously horrible, horrible real life issues. They also revealed in an interview their match almost didn't happen.
Oh,
let's do a nice segue.
Why? Because they couldn't figure out what a lumberjill was.
Ashley had broken her foot in training about a week before, and so they spent the entire WrestleMania by the gorilla position, which is where the curtain is, sort of waiting there to find out if they were going to have to go on.
Oh, my word.
And an agent came up to them and just said, yeah, I think we've got time to squeeze you in. Anyway, they shouldn't have bothered. The match is, no. I mean...
Nonsense.
This is representation at the time, in 2007, just going, let's put all the women out there. They can all, you know, look pretty around the ring, and we'll have a match that everyone knows will tank, and it'll be appalling, and we'll put it on anyway.
Yeah.
And it does. Ashley was reportedly in tears backstage after the match, saying she knew it was awful and she was really, really upset about it.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing good about this match. It's the saddest one on the fucking thing, isn't
it? Yeah, it really is. Just endlessly depressing.
Oh, it's going to be funny. Lumberjills. that's a funny word. No. Oh. No. Wrestler's court. Horrible allegations.
Jeez.
Early death.
I was just trying to find on a dodgy Wi-Fi connection what things had been deleted. To be honest, it's mostly championship belt changes and incorrect information about championship. But then there is a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of entries about her personal life, Marina Perez. So, yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done, diligent men of the internet.
She's like the only wrestler that doesn't have personal life section. Come on. The main event.
Yes.
It's the WWE champion and WWE tag team champion, John Cena, versus WWE tag team champion, Shawn Michaels. AT&T? Fan poll.
Yeah, yeah. Fan polls. Back.
We are very much in the early dawn of the mobiles. Mm. Annoyingly, everyone gets it right.
Yeah.
They go, it will be Cena.
Yeah, it'll be Cena.
And that is probably why they've never done that again, where they say to people, who do you think is going to win? And you go, oh, they got it right. I thought it would be either wrong or exactly 50-50. I mean, anything else is a nightmare.
How did they put Melina in there?
This is Shawn Michaels' first WrestleMania singles match since WrestleMania 14.
Right.
He was in the main event in 11, 12, 20, which was a triple threat match between Triple H and Chris Benoit, and then he would go on at 25 to have no 26 at 25 he has a match with The Undertaker, which was essentially the main event but was not put there in the card. That means that he had WrestleMania events over a 15 year period,
right,
which seems exactly. Undertaker even more impressive. He did, I think his first was 13 and his last was at 33. So but I mean by the end of that 20 year period, he was significantly worse than Shawn Michaels was at the end of the 15. John Cena comes in driving a muscle car, which again, I mean, if I didn't need... I just think I've got nothing in common with John Cena.
No.
I've got nothing at all.
Nothing.
He drives through a plate glass window and I bet he was all like, oh, I'm only fucking amped up. And I just, all of it, I just go, oh, it's awful. It's noisy. There's glass everywhere. And
someone's got to sweep that up.
I know. And it's just like cars. Oh, fucking cars. Get a fucking girlfriend, you weirdo.
Somebody pointed out that car guys are obsessed with cars, are like young women who really like horses.
Ponies.
Ponies. Yeah.
Robot pony.
I just think I completely agree with that.
Just, I mean, cars pass me by, but especially like when you sort of like in America, because all American cars look strange and unusual to us.
Yeah. I mean, I remember my ex's dad bought a Cadillac. He was a mechanic.
Mm.
Bought a Cadillac, but he lived in Fleckney near Leicester, and it's really hard to get. They're just country roads.
Yeah.
And Cadillacs are like a big, it's like a swimming pool size.
Yeah.
And it's huge.
I knew a guy who was really into hot rods,
right?
But he also had terrible diabetes, and he did nothing about the diabetes.
And
because he was like,
oh,
I'm all about the hot rods and everything. He is dead now.
Oh.
Direct result of the diabetes, having lost both his legs, you know. That's what car people are like, isn't it? That is true. But people are beginning now to really turn on John Cena.
Yeah.
So John Cena, this is his third WrestleMania main event in a row.
Yeah.
It's the third win he has. He's been holding the belt for 20 of the last 24 months.
Right.
So, you know, nearly 2 years. Everything about that conspires to make you go, especially because he's not that good a wrestler. Look, he is really good. His timing is great, and he's there with Shawn Michaels. He's with him every step of the way. John Cena is not a bad wrestler, but there's something about him that he's not an emotional wrestler. You don't get an emotional response to him.
Mm.
And this match is really weirdly pitched. So again, like a Japanese match, slow start, builds. The two men are absolutely fantastic in it. It's a really, really good match. You genuinely don't know who's going to win, and that's what you want from a main event. Or you want the coronation of someone that you've been waiting to see, you know, crowned for years and years and years. But with this sort of the Cena thing, he's just unbeatable. He's Superman. Mm. He is the number one. So Shawn Michaels in this, the crowd want to win.
Yeah.
And they continually give him the moments where it looks like Shawn Michaels is going to win. But the problem is you're building that up. And because it's wrestling and you can predetermine it, if you go, well, let's get the biggest response we can, it would have been to have Shawn Michaels win this. Mm. And instead, they've decided they're sticking with Cena. And so you build and build and build and build and build. And yet people are all like, I just don't want Cena to win. Mm. And it's a fatal flaw in this match, which is otherwise. Again, the WrestleMania that no one talks about. This match is, it's a really, really good main event. Mm. It's a totally forgotten match. I honestly would not, if you'd have said to me, has there been John Cena versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania, until I watched it, honestly, 2 days ago, I'd have said, no, they had some pay-per-view stuff, but I'd totally forgotten about it. And it's a great hard-hitting match and blood, and Shawn Michaels looks sort of like he's getting over the hill a little bit. He's a little over-tanned. Mm. And like he's been retired or something, and he's spending a lot of time in the Algarve, and it's just. But this is absolutely, really, really surprisingly good.
Mm.
The most important match moment, of course, is the one they've cut out the network.
Well, you sent it to me on WhatsApp last night, late last night. I enjoyed that.
Yes.
A man jumps in the ring and he tries to streak, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. So he basically turns up fully clothed in the ring. And in the clip...
Idiot. Or take your clothes off in the crowd and then run in.
It's about a second and a half of footage before they just swing the camera away. And you see Shawn Michaels sort of rolling his eyes or whatever. But a guy comes in, and what you miss, of course, is the beating that he gets.
Didn't somebody jump Shawn Michaels quite recently as well in his Hall of Fame?
Bret Hart.
Oh, was that Bret Hart?
Who got thumped by a load of things. But even this week, there was a bit on Raw, which is captured by the cameras, which is hilarious, where AJ Styles is leaving the ring and a man gets into the ring and they just pile on him to flatten him down. What the people who piled on didn't realise is that that was a guy who was playing a preacher for a segment that was coming up. So he was basically been told to go in there. So he'd done it. And the second he got in there, they fucking squashed him. Magic stuff. So I was reading around about the streaker because, you know, it's a streaker at WrestleMania. You know, there must be a story about that.
Yeah, because they don't normally get as close as that guy.
Someone said, you can't see it on the low res video, but he's wearing Union Jack shorts.
Right.
And there's a weird bit where once I knew that and I watched that clip, JR suddenly goes, as the guy comes out and he's going, hey, and he's pulling his shirt off in the ring. He's actually got in the ring. So it's the bit when the ref is checking the sort of tights and the shoes. He pulls his shirt open and JR sort of goes, well, we appreciate fans from all over the world coming here, which is exactly what he'd do if he'd seen the sort of thing. And he's doing a little joke about Union Jack boxer shorts or whatever. I went on YouTube and there is a brilliant story where it seems like someone has identified who the guy is.
Right.
So it's a user called WWE Third Eye One. He said, it's funny. I've actually heard the story about this guy. He's from here in the north of England, it says. According to a woman I used to work with who has no interest in wrestling whatsoever, she mentioned to me before I went to WrestleMania last year that she knew a guy from a pub who also went with a few mates to watch Mania about a decade or so ago. She told me one of the guys made a deal that if one of them jumped in the ring, then the rest of them would pay for the whole of that lad's holiday. That being flights, tickets, hotels, etc. He said, I've just seen this clip. He says, finally, he said, this must be it. The fact that there is some lad from, I don't know, Preston, who for a free holiday managed to get into the main event of WrestleMania 23, and no one has sort of gone, I am that man. Please, can you find out who he is and can we have a photograph of him in his Union Jank pants. Oh man, but yeah, a great match. You know, it's long, but then you suddenly go, oh, it's actually quite good though. Mm. And then you start going, actually, this is fucking great. And then actually, you're just really watching it, and
it's in it. It's one of John Cena's best matches I've seen.
It really is, yeah. And Cena is very much seen as being one of these people that, you know, if you're a wrestling fan, you don't like. You know, you see all the signs coming up, Cena sucks, Cena enough, all that sort of thing. Mm. The boos are there. He's reverting to his military thing. In a sort of like, you know, I imagine he thinks it's like being in the foxhole, to use a military term, that he's gone all that, you know, and it's but there's also a thing I think where he sort of thinks, can they boo our serving hero?
And stolen valor.
It turns out they can. But Cena is, you know, he's seen as being this guy who, you know, he was charismatic and yes, he could keep Pace, if you gave him the right opponent, you know, they'd make him look good. Mm. But he actually won the Wrestling Observer's Wrestler of the Year in this year, 2007.
Right.
And again, I looked at that and I thought, I was watching wrestling at this period and none of this rings a bell. None of it at all. He also won it, I think, in 2010. So that is, if you like, the most legitimate accolade that a wrestler can get. And, it's called the Luthers Ric Flair Wrestler of the Year Award. That gives you some indication as to... And normally, many, many years, it's won by Japanese wrestlers because people are very serious about it. But in 2007 and 2010, John Cena won it both times. I mean, and you can see that he had a great match in this year. He and Shawn Michaels would end up doing a match on Raw when it came to London that lasted nearly 45 minutes. And that is seen as being the greatest match in Raw history. Again, just something... Cena cannot be, put in that category of saying you're a bad wrestler. Mm. Always like Hulk Hogan. He just, you know, huge kids merch and, you know, good on the stick. But, you know, he is a banging wrestler. And it's just that 2007, this is the year he's at his peak. Mm. And this is a WrestleMania main event that... I don't know, maybe everyone's forgotten about it because they're embarrassed. They're embarrassed to have to go, yeah, it's really good. But the main event, you go, yeah, it's actually really good. Isn't it?
is it not a situation where just as soon as WWE start pushing, it just turns people off?
It does, yeah.
And why do they never
In years to come,
that?
People will not understand why Roman Reigns got booed.
Yeah.
They will just it will be absolutely inexplicable to them when we're all worm food. although I must admit that Shawn Michaels does come out to this. He doesn't come out to Sexy Boy. He comes out to the D-Generation X theme because he's in DX. So as far as I'm concerned, this match is not canon. And the main event of WrestleMania 23 was Ashley versus Melina.
We'll take it.
Well, that's nice to be back with the WrestleMania.
Yes!
Yeah.
We can move on with our lives. We're back on that. We know that we're hurtling towards the end of this project.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we've got to get all the wrestling dogs out of the way.
Yes.
So next dogs, week.
Wrestling films.
Yeah, and we're probably by this point. So when we're recording this, it's early January, which is the sort of time when you make loads of like mad life decisions and things. And I think probably this will go out then. I mean, what we're probably going to be doing is we are thinking about doing a Patreon.
Yes.
Okay. And we aren't going to do a Patreon where we say, and if you want to hear the rest of the WrestleMania episodes, you'll have to join the Patreon. Mm. I think it'll be a little bit like WrestleMe Mass.
Yes.
And we'll have a little bit of fun with it. Mm. But we thought it would just be a way to keep this great big beast plowing into your ears and us to do it and not begin to resent it.
No, because if I've learned anything doing this podcast is that I love doing it. Mm. It's rare that I get to work with Mark or even see Mark because he's busy, I'm busy. But advertisers really aren't into wrestling podcasts.
No, not at all.
Doesn't matter what figures you're getting in.
Nope.
They're just not into it.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
And we thank our craft ale overlords because they're the only ones who've bothered. They're the only ones who'll do it.
But do you
who'll
know,
see the
do you
synergy?
Know, we don't need the advertisers.
No.
Because we're going to go straight into your pocket and we're going to be taking our cut. Whether you like it or not.
Are you all in?
They said a Patreon could not be started by anyone but WWE. No one said that, but that's exactly what
we're going to do. I want premium economy going to WrestleMania this year. I've never been to WrestleMania. I want to go and I want to go premium economy.
Yeah.
And I want to pre-book my mail. That's an extra 20. So...
Yeah, we can't just go to WrestleMania on good wishes.
No.
That's very much clear. And do you know what? We found doing this podcast, we also can't expect the WWE to provide us with tickets because let me make it clear, the few times I've met people from within wrestling, this is not a podcast they are happy to be associated with because they all want to work with WWE.
Yes, we don't care. Good night, everyone! Wrestle me, Mark!
Wrestle me, Pete!
Review us, you pigs!
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah. You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.